Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
The Bears will meet the media today for the first time since firing offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. Do you expect much empathy, sympathy from anyone other than maybe Matt Eberflus, the guy who did apparently fire him? Will it all be about on to Green Bay? The Packers are in town. Or will there be a moment of disquiet for Waldron?
I don't know that Waldron gets a moment. I'm not sure. I'm sure the head coach we'll try to be nice about it. I'm sure that that I would imagine anyway that Thomas Brown will try to be nice about it because it's a difficult thing to go through to lose your job, although he's getting paid a lot of money. I've got to be honest with you. This is, I don't have a ton of good feeling for Shane Waldron. I don't have a lot of sympathy or empathy. What is he making? Like $5 million he'll get from the Bears?
He had a three-year contract guaranteed, yeah. $2 million per year. He worked half a season,
holy
so
cow.
He's due $5 million.
Holy cow. I mean, how is that not the dream? You know, if someone came in right now and said, Mulligan, get out. You're finished. Your career's over. Here's $5 million.
I will give you $5 million and sully your reputation.
You know, hey, go right ahead. Let me just say a couple things about what bad guy I am on the way out. Can we get it up to 550? I mean, look, it is. I know that's not as simple as the rest of his life and, you know, his aspirations, all that. Listen, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good deal to come in and completely screw it up and get paid to leave. That's not a bad deal for him. But it's not about him. It's about how you move forward and how you carry on. And I think that this is. This is even worse than I imagined it would be for Matt Eberflus. I didn't have a lot of faith in what they were doing, and I really felt like there was a really good argument to make to move on, especially the idea being that you go out and you get a guy and you bring him in and he has his own quarterback and you build the two people together. And the last thing I wanted to see is exactly what we're seeing now, which is, you know, Caleb is now gone through. He's on this second offense coordinator in year one, and there's not a chance, in my opinion, that he won't wind up with a third one in year two. So I think that they'll probably have to hire a head coach with offensive thinking, right? They'll probably have to hire somebody that can do their own offense moving forward, because I don't think you can keep bringing people in. If they do well, then they leave. You just can't do that. So I think there's a lot already laid out. Today will be an interesting day. I don't think we'll learn much.
I think there will be a lot of empathy and sympathy from Matt Eberflus, and I would imagine that Caleb Williams will say something along the lines, we all know there's issues on offense. It's not all Shade Waldron's fault. I'm part of the problem. I think he will say the offense isn't not functioning all because of Shane Waldron. I think we will hear that or something like that from Caleb today. And I if he's curious or interested, I would suggest he say something like that, uses a thumb. And he has been pretty good about taking some of the blame. But if I'm understanding disquiet properly, worry or uneasiness that Shane Waldron, I mean, is there a show of hands, a text or a call, please, if you're upset that Shane Waldron is no longer with the Bears? The other thing, go ahead.
I think it was meant more as the idea that, you know, you're losing somebody that knew what he was doing. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't think we'll see that.
No, I don't think he knew what he was doing, which is part of why he ended up getting, we're going to get into it, why he was the guy after they talked to 10 different guys for this job, why they landed on Shane Waldron. I think there's two reasons, but again, we'll get to that later. I also really want to know about Tom Pelissero's reporting. Is it correct that, Matt, is it correct, according to Tom Pelissero, that you were just going to move Shane Waldron to the booth? And if you moved him to the booth, was he going to be a play caller from the booth, or was he just going to be part of the game planning? Will that be addressed? I hope it is. Curious.
Yeah, I kind of told you that was correct. Yeah, I think he's on. I think he's accurate there. That was the way it went down.
There's two parts, right? I mean, one, was he going to continue to call the plays, or was he just going to be there?
No, he was going to be demoted by going up to the booth and being another set of eyes in the box that a new play caller would benefit from. Shane Waldron wasn't here long enough to have a big impact on many people. I don't think he had the strong personality to leave that kind of impression, and I think that was part of the reason why he was hired, and maybe part of the reason why he failed. And I think, so today you'll hear some accountability, the buzzword about Hallis Hall, accountability from Caleb Williams, from anybody asked about Shane Waldron, players in the locker room. I mean, this is a collective effort. This is collective futility. This isn't just one guy. One guy lost his job. One guy is paid well to go away. The severance package is healthy. But I don't think that necessarily there are these kinds of emotional ties that are difficult to sever, because he wasn't here long enough to create those kinds of bonds. And Caleb Williams, I don't think, had the closest of relationships with Shane Waldron, and it just, at least it didn't appear that way. So Matt Eberflus, certainly they brought him here. He tried to preserve a soft landing for Shane Waldron. They have the same representative, which bears repeating again and again and again. But I don't think beyond Matt Eberflus, you will hear a lot of angst over losing an offensive coordinator who didn't get the job done. Shane Waldron's legacy includes a failed 4th-and-1 against Indianapolis and one of the dumbest calls you're ever going to see. That was only topped by a dumber call on 3rd-and-goal against the Commanders by handing the ball to a backup offensive lineman. So he leaves with not a lot of accomplishment in Chicago.
That's one of those questions. You know how hard that is to answer.
That's the voice of Dan Weider. He's here at 7:25. How much difference do you think the new play caller, Thomas Brown, will make? And what's priority number one for Brown ahead of Sunday's game against the Packers?
I'd sit down with Caleb Williams and ask him what he likes to do. What makes you comfortable? What would you like to see more of? How can we help you get better? How can we help you regain some of that success and swagger and confidence that seems to be missing the last 3 weeks? What are your preferences and favorite plays in this playbook? Remember, the point of this, the point of the day is new play caller, same playbook. That is puts him at a disadvantage, Thomas Brown. You don't change systems mid-season. So there are limitations to how much impact a guy can have. So I think what you try to do is You try to return to the basics, and you try to rely on your personality and the power of it. If he is charismatic, then reach this young quarterback who has drifted somewhat. Bring him back into the fold. Bring him back into a place where he feels welcome, appreciated, and confident. protect the quarterback, move the pocket, run the football. So from a football perspective, it's very easy. From a people perspective, he's got to reel his quarterback back in.
David, I think you nailed it. I agree with all of that. You definitely want to make it seem as if Caleb has skin in the game, if you will, if he's able. But I think the question still stands. He might know what he likes to do, but I don't, at this moment, for a couple of reasons, I'm not sure he can execute what he likes to do. So what you suggested also, Dave, run the ball. You heard Coach Wanstead with you guys yesterday. 60% of the time, you're running the ball. Give me two plays. Give me two plays to stretch the field. Okay, no more handoffs to wide receivers. No more handing the ball off to DJ Moore. If you're going to hand the ball off, hand it to a running back who can at least try to square his shoulders and go straight ahead. How about a little more Johnson in the backfield? Nothing wrong with DeAndre Swift. How about the two of them in the backfield together at the same time? Novel concept. Protect your quarterback. But by protecting him, it's do what the offensive line can get done. You know, now things could be very different. This injury report today could say both the starting offensive tackles are limited. Okay, well, that would be a step in the right direction, right? It'd be great to hear that they were both full participants, but if they're both full participants, then you got to wonder why one or both didn't play on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, this is really a good question because the only question here is what does success look like for Thomas Brown? What is his job now? How is he coming in, and what is he going to do? They've averaged 9 points a game over the last three games in their three-game losing streak. You know, it'd be great if they could score a touchdown, wouldn't it? It would just be nice to see the Bears score a touchdown. But the only thing that matters, it's the economy, stupid. The only thing that matters is the quarterback. It's the quarterback. It's the quarterback. It's the quarterback. You've got to figure out a way to get to the quarterback. You've got to get control of the quarterback, and you've got to protect the quarterback. So you got to figure out a way where you're not leaving him on an island, where he's not hanging on to the ball too long, where you're running the football is a good way to do it. Run the ball. Do whatever you can do with whatever limited offensive line you have. And then I would worry about some of the big-time passes and some of the making the quarterback look good down the line. I think the first thing is just lining guys up, taking all the decision-making out of the hands of the quarterback, and running the football, moving the pocket is a really good idea because it's all about preserving the quarterback. So, I mean, you know, touchdowns is the answer to what he needs on his resume. But the quarterback is all that matters for this football team.
Honestly, I've been fighting myself with this question for a long time.
That's Jalen Johnson. He, of course, a regular here on The Score after games with our afternoon show. So what is the biggest problem with the Bears on the field after nine games? And most importantly, how do you address it before it gets worse with the toughest part of the schedule looming?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem is their offense and the fact that the quarterback's getting killed and they're making no progress as a football team as a result of that. So the offensive line is not going to miraculously heal overnight. You can't just go out and buy a good faith healer. You can't go out and get someone to lay healing hands on guys that are injured. So you just go right back to the basics. What is it that this group can do? We're lining these guys up. We'll see what that looks like today. That'll be a first look at the injury list. That's always a good thing on Wednesday. But you got to figure out what you can get done. And simplify, go back to basics, go down to the most basic stuff you do, which is if you're an offensive lineman, you block the guy in front of you and you run block and you move forward and you try to get control of a guy. You don't go into pass protection. You're going to have to run the football and you're going to have to go back to like the most basic, simple game plan you can imagine. It sounds horrible. And I don't know that it's going to lead to a lot of success, but hopefully it doesn't lead to a lot of failure.
It's a great point, Mully. Do keep it simple. Keep it simple. I really think that's really important. And also, You know, on top of the play calling, which has been an issue, there's been a lot of noise since the loss. And Eberflus talked about it immediately following the game. Because of this loss and how they lost, there's going to be more noise. The players are part of that noise. And we just played a Jalen Johnson cut coming into this question. He's a guy who said teammates are not thirsty enough. That's got to be addressed internally, right? That, I mean, the fact that if that's true, and I don't think Jalen Johnson's a liar, that's got to be addressed. The guys need to be thirsty enough, especially because it's Packers week.
Biggest problem with the Bears is that their offensive line is subpar, injured, and bad. So you have to find a way to scheme your way through a bad, injured offensive line. I don't know how you do that, but that's the greatest challenge. That, to me, is where everything starts and where everything started to fall apart. You can look at some other factors, but when they were unable to protect the quarterback, your quarterback started to develop bad habits, and I think that it all starts there. Defensively, they're struggling against the run. We've seen it times. This is not the elite defense we thought it was at the beginning of the season. They've, you know, talk about regression. They have had injuries that explain why they've experienced some of that, but they have experienced some of that. And last week, not only were they in the wrong spot at the wrong time, but you saw a lack of effort that you can't tolerate and you should not put up with if you're Matt Eberflus. So I think that they're forgetting how to tackle, being unable to block, and then your quarterback issues with accuracy have been a problem. So I think it's a very long list of problems, but it starts where we have had the emphasis when we're talking about football issues and not this other noise that has been created. The Bears aren't very strong across the line of scrimmage offensively and surprisingly lately defensively.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a good question.
Voice of Chris Chelios, Chelios and Roenick, 8:40 this morning with Mully and Haw. Did the Bears' firing of an offensive coordinator in season for the first time in their history make it more likely they'll be willing to fire a head coach if this downward spiral continues? How likely or unlikely is it that Matt Eberflus has 8 games left in his Bears tenure?
Yeah, it's really hard to envision Matt Eberflus saving his job now, because what that would require, if we're doing the math and you're looking at the progression, year 3, you can't be stagnant. Year 3, you can't get worse. Year 3 in any head coach's tenure in the NFL, based on today's standards, expectations, salary structure, and life in a football city, you've got to show improvement. You've got to show progress, which is represented in the win-loss column. The Bears are 4-5. Matt Eberflus came into this season coming off a 7-10 record. You do the math. If you can see 4 wins in the final 8 games, I want your goggles because they're Bear goggles. And so if you do that and you win eight games, then you can represent and show progress and you can justify coming back with the same head coach. If you can't get there, I don't think there's any conceivable way that you can bring back the same head coach. So, yes, Matt Eberflus, in firing Shane Waldron, put the focus on himself. And now the rest of the way, his seat gets hotter because he's got to win more than he loses. And I just don't think that's realistic.
Well, Thomas Brown could save Matt Eberflus's job. David, I think I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm just I think if the Bears somehow could split the games, if they could finish 500 in the NFC North, I think that might be enough. But again, I still don't think they win another game as we sit here today. I don't think they do, unless all these guys on offense all of a sudden just click, and this was all a Shane Waldron problem, and the players feel enabled by him being shown the door, and they all rally around this. And you see, we told you it was all about him. We're energized now. We're one now. That could save his job. I don't think it will, but it could.
Yeah, I don't know there's anything really that's going to save his job. It's like there's just – they've taken on so much water. You know, you go to a Bear game now, and they're chanting to fire the coach before the game starts, for the love of God. I mean, there's a lot of ill will. It's just – it's gathering on them, and, you know, we've seen a lot of people come to the end of their tenure. And whether the Bears are partly responsible for – building up the hype, you know, the not being able to lower expectations, creating expectations, not being able to match them, whatever it may be. I think he's got a real difficult task in front of him, because the problem is they're damaged now and they're flawed. And, you know, they can't run and they can't stop the run. You know, they can't pass protect, and they're really struggling to play good defense. They're getting gashed in the run game. So I think that when you add that stuff up, you kind of there's not like a real winning formula waiting for them. They've been playing poorly, and the games they've won have been against the worst teams. And so you kind of look at them now, and it just feels like, look, if they beat Green Bay, maybe they get a bounce. Maybe they beat Green Bay. Maybe we're having a completely different conversation next week. I just think when you tally up both ends of the list by the end of the year, you're going to be leaning one way rather than the other. I think it's a hard thing to overcome. And it's when a team loses things as the Bears have, very hard to get that back again in an NFL season. It's tough because people will be all over you. Everybody's watching what happened, and they're going to come for you.
Yeah, I understand your question.
How will the Bears' injury list impact their chances against Green Bay this week? And will the offensive line in particular catch a break in time for Sunday's contest?
Yeah, the injury list, as we said, this is the fun part of the week, because unfortunately the last couple weeks, doesn't it seem like you've added to the injury list? Like you come out of a game, you lose it, you're disappointed, and you're like, how did he get hurt? When did he go down? I didn't know that. It's just like, it just seems like it's been one thing after another. I'm very curious if Jaquan Brisker is playing another game, or if that decision has been made, or, you know, what if he returns this week? I have no idea.
Would you?
If he's not able to go this week, and they lose this game, I don't know if I want to bring him back.
Mm-mm.
Right? I don't know if it would make sense to bring him back this season. So if that one you wonder about, I'm not, you know, listen, the man has a concussion, and it's so dangerous. But we haven't had an update on that in a while. It'd be great if they got an offensive lineman back. Even Braxton Jones, isn't he the closest one? That'd be great.
Probably so. Yeah.
It'd be like we'd throw a parade, anything. Anything would be great, because then you could move people back to different positions, and who knows? And maybe that changes you. I'm thinking Ryan Bates might get better after his first week of playing, But that would be the guy I expect to maybe show up with an ankle where you're like, what? He never had an ankle. It just feels like it's been one thing after another. So, you know, is Montez Sweat getting better? God, they'd need him at his full Montez Sweatness if you could get that to happen going into the Green Bay game. I'm gonna watch this one like a hawk, as I do every week. I love the injury list. I don't know why.
Well, I think this could get really interesting on the offensive line. Let's say Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones are both back and good to go. Well, all of a sudden, Matt Pryor can go back to guard, where he's been pretty darn good. And things were so bad on the offensive line last week, I don't know if we know whether or not the guy who finally played a game for the Bears, is he any good? Did Bates do a good enough job? How did Pro Football Focus or anybody else that likes to put those? Okay, could Bates take over for Coleman Shelton, who was awful? He was awful. You know who else was awful? Doug Kramer.
Center?
Bates? He came here to be the center, didn't he? Originally?
Yeah, but he would have to play the position.
Guys, I love the devotion to the injury report.
Everything to us.
Who are the five best offensive linemen on this team?
The Bears could be fully healthy up front, and their offensive line would still be subpar. I'm sorry.
If they're fully healthy up front.
They're not very good.
They'll beat the Green Bay Packers.
No, they won't.
I just said it. That means miracle.
Miracle
cure for Andrew Billings.
I'm talking about
the offensive line.
No, I would don't twist it.
Oh, I twisted it.
Don't twist it.
You twist this.
The offensive line, what? When healthy, is still subpar. That is a biggest problem on this football team. The way it was put together, it has been neglected far too long. So, the injured list, the offensive line, did they catch a break? I don't know what that would look like. Catching a break would have been signing a free agent and drafting the right guy and not a third-round guy who was pre-injured. I think that's what it would look like. Right now, the offensive line, when healthy, is still going to get bent on Sunday. So I don't know why I'm not waiting with bated breath on the injury report. I know what it will likely look like, and guys will come back, and we'll talk about who fits where, and we'll ask Grody on Friday to line it up for us, and we'll go through the paces, because that's what you have to do. And then we'll get to Sunday, and the first third and long, the pocket's going to collapse, there's going to be a sack, and people are going to be looking at each other, and nobody's going to be helping Caleb Williams off the ground. That's what I come to expect.
The last question will be...
That's the voice of Stacey Dales, 9 a.m. with Mully and Haw. Did the College Football Playoff Selection Committee get their second ranking right? And can you believe Georgia is almost technically out of the playoffs if we were going to kick that off today? What does it say about the Big Ten, four of the top five teams right now?
Expansion works. They're loving this. Four of the top five teams, Penn State, where it is, they're happy about that. Indiana, no complaints this week from the Hoosiers. The committee reacted like they're scared of Kurt Cignetti too. Like when he walked off the field after beating Michigan and they interviewed him, he had that look on his face and the way he handled that moment. And for a moment, people who have watched Indiana sports for a very long time had shades of Bobby Knight. This guy means business. So the Indiana Hoosiers are happy. The Big Ten thrilled. SMU might have a case. Their only losses from to BYU and they're outside looking in, but I don't think they're viable either. So I think that week two, Georgia got what they deserved. I know
they're out. Georgia is out. Can you imagine?
You lost. You're out.
I know. It's great.
It's not great. It's not. If with all due respect to Indiana University, if Indiana is a top five football team in this country, college football stinks out loud. Georgia would be favored at Indiana.
2 weeks, baby.
Right.
It'll all be
different.
Revealed.
Georgia would be favored by at least 17 points at Indiana if we were making a spread. Okay, let's get Mike Palm on from Circa and have him.
Let's not.
Okay.
No.
Why?
Because we're not playing
defeat,
in this fantasy world where we play
your
imaginary
argument.
Teams. You play who's on your schedule. You beat the teams on your schedule,
okay,
and you live with it. And that's history. Dustin. In Ohio, that's college football history.
And Ohio State will be favored by at least 17 points. At least 17 points against Indiana. Yeah. Okay, Ohio State is here in town.
Are you going to go see him on Saturday?
I'm not, no.
Yeah. I don't blame
you. No. I would like to go to a college football game.
How about
game
your beloved Irish playing four patsies this year on the schedule?
Well, wait a minute.
Are you going to deny them an entry into the top 12?
I thought you can only play with who's on your schedule.
I know, but you're the same week, I'm telling you that. David. I know that. I accept that as a college football fan.
You know who's really catching bad break? Army.
Well, there's where I'm going.
Yeah.
So Army is on Notre Dame's schedule in 2 weeks.
Yes.
They play out in New York. So we'll find out. You know, if Army beats Notre Dame, Notre Dame's out. And if Notre Dame beats Army, Notre Dame is firmly in. Fine. But Georgia would also be favored over Notre Dame, my Fighting Irish, by probably 2 scores. Listen, I predicted Georgia was going to lose that game. The SEC is really, really good top to bottom. Big Ten is good up top, not so good at the bottom. They didn't get it right.
They didn't get it right? Okay. I thought it was fun. I watch that show. I get a kick out of it. I like looking at the bracket. And I thought to myself, if the season were to end and the playoffs begin Notre Dame at Tennessee, that'd be pretty wild.
It's a great atmosphere.
That would be something special. So I think it's fun. I think it's also, you know, there's so much time to go. And we got to see who the champion, the conference champions are, and who winds up in those games. And there are people alive you thought were dead and buried. There's still plenty of time for a lot of things to shift and to change. I thought Georgia being out is just amazing because, and I watched that game, right? I watched them get beaten, and they got beaten. They got beaten pretty good. And it'll be really interesting. What's the game this week? Does Ole Miss play Tennessee? Is that this week?
Tennessee plays Georgia.
Oh, Georgia.
Okay, so now Georgia beats Tennessee. Guess who's out?
Break.
Tennessee. Georgia's right back
in. Georgia. Yeah. Move to Tennessee. Move to Mississippi. You love the SEC that much. Go to Arkansas.
Are you talking to me? What did I do wrong?
Hog saw suey.
I just find it fascinating.
Get out.
I find it fascinating.
Oh, that's Molly's line.
Get out. I'm all for it. I love the idea that we're reaching a point now where there are some interesting games that are occurring because all these, like your guy Brian Kelly. I mean, what do you think LSU is doing for his family?
I'm here with my family.
There you go.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.